Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ, all praises, man. Oh, it's the Sabbath day. Oh, man, I all in free. Hey, praise God, we are one Sabbath closer to the kingdom work Sabbath. The whole point of even pressing in this Sabbath that you want to see that one that's coming. So we want Sabbath closer to that. That's all we got to do is just stay faithful. Amen. Welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe of Israel of Coming to See Ministries Bible Study Class. And tonight we are dealing with the Passion of Christ. The Passion of Christ. What is the Passion of Christ, man? He gave the Passion of Christ is the Father's will. And the Father's will is that He loved the world that He would give His only begotten Son. That's His will. And so the Passion of Christ is to fulfill the Father's will. That's that thing. That's His passion. I mean, He could have stopped at any time. He could have pulled the plug on a whole deal, but then He would go into the lake of fire with Satan. Because He would have broke His law. He would have broke His law that He wasn't going to die, that He was going to die for man, and He chose not to. Then He would have gave His life to the fire. And He chose to be obedient to death instead of choosing the fire. Because, I mean, when you think about it, who would have more understanding of the fire than Him? So, Satan, bring your best. Bring your, what? That's what He said. Bring your, hey, He did it. That's His passion. That's why we here. I mean, listen, man. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be talking about God. I wouldn't be even talking about God. I wouldn't be talking about God. I wouldn't be talking about none of this if it wasn't for Jesus. This that thing. So, He the only reason why I'm having this conversation because it's his blood that got shed. And it was for the Father. So, let's look at this. Look, we're going to get prayed in, and we're going to ask our brothers if you could stand face Jerusalem and uncover your head, and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem and cover your head as we approach the Father and open up. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren. And Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and your kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit. And give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, that they too may receive a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we are dealing with the passion of Christ, man. I mean, you know, we watched that Mel Gibson did, you know, and it was a doozy, man. I mean, when your elders, you know, be talking about they went to the flick and they was boo-hooing, man, and you got, you know, like 80% of people in the flick, man, they was feeling all that drama because we knew what we was reading and we was seeing it being played out, you know. Our first time we really got a dig on it. Then it came with the Aramaic. You know, the more recent Hebrew, you know, that we've been speaking as a people, like we actually had a speech in this world anyway. But let's look at this. Let's start this in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Okay, Isaiah 43 and verse 10, because where we left off at yesterday is that he and the Father had made plans for this to take place. They made plans that if man sinned against God, that one of them would have to come from heaven and give their life for him. And the lot fell on Jehovah. He the one that came down. I know my brother's like, Jehovah, yeah, because Jesus is the Father. Now he's the Father. Because both of them was in the heavens. They both dwelled in eternity. One was named Jehovah for reason we don't know their names of the Melchizedek, right? So we're going to just say Jesus and Jehovah because their real name is Melchizedek. We don't know that. He said that name, that speech don't exist in the world, so we really can't say what his name is anyway. So that's a super oxymoron, so I'm going to roll with what's in the book. So the book said that Jehovah came down, he was salvation, right? But Jesse is David's father. That's written in the law. So I'm rolling with that Jesus is the Christ, and that's his name. This is him. He the one that had came down. The Son came down in the Father's name, and we covered that. Okay, let's do a little bit of it. Let's go into Isaiah chapter 57. Yeah, Isaiah 57 and 15. Isaiah 57 and 15. And it reads, he said, for thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit. W2. You got him. They're in eternity. This isn't Isaiah talking about he's in eternity. That's the spirit of God that Isaiah been testifying the previous 56 chapters that's talking through him, that's telling us that I... For thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Well, you know that ain't Isaiah because he's in our time, right? So whoever talking here is the inhabitant of eternity. Who name is holy? Well, once again, for identification purposes in the scriptures that I do have and witness for, Jehovah and Jesus is the testimony. Therefore, he said this, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit. See, both of them, you know, I don't know where people get this pride from that, you know, that God have on himself, man. Like when Joshua was crying and he was praying to God and Achan had stole, right? He took the cursed thing. And 36 brothers got killed for that, right? And Joshua was crying. But we've been told, like he said, get up and sin in the camp. No, he said this. His spirit is humble and contrite. He would have said, Joshua, get up. It's sin in the camp. He don't talk like that. This is him. He said, I dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, broken, humble. That is the one that she's saying that he is humble. That's it, just humble. Humility, for humility's sake, both of them. You see, that's why the meek is going to inherit the earth, because anything outside of that is offensive to them. That pride and arrogance and all that stuff, that's an offense to God. That's why he said the meek is going to inherit the earth. See, they don't dwell in this kind of light and conversation. They're never going to have to hear him holler or anything like that, or thunder or anything like that. You never fear ever again, ever. Anyway, so he said this, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, those that have the mind of God. Right? This is that thing. So he said, now he's here for them. That's those that's been preordained, what you call the very elect. Those that was called through time to testify of God and witness for him. Let's look at that. Let's go on to Philippians 2 and verse 1. I'm going to pick it up at the 1. It says, if there if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, right? Not my pride, my joy. Be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So, that's all he asking for of us, to be with each other. That's all God is asking. Well, we can't do that. And we think we're going to get in a kingdom. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Isn't that it? That's all it's about. Vainglory. People want to be the next new thing. The first, I want to be the curb. I want to be the end all, be all to everything that's belong to God. They can't just be a part. You know, they can't just be a gizmo or a cog in the scheme of things. They got to be the clock. No, man. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So that's the same spirit that we got through reading in Isaiah 57 and 15. See, so that Isaiah is testifying that this is the mind of God. This is the mind that we're supposed to have for each other. He said, look not every man to his own thing, but every man also the things of others. What do you mean? I can't just live off of strawberries. If I'm growing strawberries, then, man, you know, I want some bananas. So somebody got bananas. I want pineapples. Somebody got pineapples. You know, the book said you can eat from all the trees of the garden, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Can't eat from that. But you can eat from all the other trees. So, why are we doing things in vainglory? We're supposed to be looking at things the other. Man, I just love being in a council of wise men and not pride men. It'll just, you know you're in a council of wise men because all of them is esteeming each other better than the next versus trying to one up. See? Why? 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, if you're not like that, you ain't like Jesus. Remember that we just got through reading in Isaiah 57. He said he had a contrite and a humble spirit. Also, that dwell with him also had a contrite and humble spirit. Well, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, Isaiah 57, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, with him that dwell in eternity with him, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's Jehovah. He the one that came down. He the one that taught Moses how to worship God. Remember when he was, when Moses said, show me your glory, right? Moses said, show me your glory. So God said, oh, well, I'm going to show you my glory. Then, but see, we got to realize he's the high priest, right? He's Melchizedek. When he came down, he showed Moses how to worship God. So, this is the mind. That was Jehovah that did that. Remember, he told you in Exodus, he said, my name is Jehovah. That was Moses that talked with him. He the one that revealed himself to Moses. Jehovah did. I am him. That's him. He the one that came down. The book tells you, you never heard the Father's voice. No man, not even Adam. He said, no man has never heard the Father's voice at any time. So, like that Brother Nakomi taught. Hey, look, in the fourth day, he handed it over to the son. The father left it alone from that point on. Right after the fourth day came, what? The fifth day, blood. Flesh and blood. Fish, birds, stuff like that. Nobody never heard the father's voice at any time. Nobody. No man whatsoever. Moses was not talking to the father. He was talking to Jehovah. Adam was talking to Jehovah. And I used to be a Jehovah Witness, so these things are kind of like, they jump out at me a little bit. You know what I mean? But that's him. Anyway, so he came down, right? He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Once again, that's Jehovah. And being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. There goes the Father. So there goes Jesus, right? There goes Jesus right here. That's the one he said that dwell also in an eternity with me. He the one that exalted him, right? And given him a name which is above every name, even Jehovah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You got to give me a name higher than that in the law. In the testimony, other than that, you blaspheming. That's the end of your story. Or you can't teach out this book because you can't change the book. He said, the law says you can't change the book. You add anything to take it away, you cursed. You're a curse. So it says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. What? So that's all the angels. What? Ain't Jehovah in the world? Ain't that running in the world? Allah? What? Ain't that running in the world? I ain't gonna ever say them other Hebrew names. That just ain't nothing but just some extension of Phoenician. That nonsense is ain't nothing but another extension of Phoenician. Are you trying to speak Hebrew and with an English outfit, alphabet I can't understand? And I hope God would never show me nothing like that. Anyway. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. How you going to go into spiritual warfare when the law tell you right here, according to the scriptures, that the things on the earth is going to bow to the name of Jesus, and that's the devil's own that fell down here? You don't have no control there. You ain't got nothing. How you going to call anything when he's telling you this name buys everything in heaven and earth? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There it is, right? So, this is him. He the one that came down, Jehovah, which one that showed Moses his glory. The same glory he showed Moses is the one he prayed for. He said, Father, give me my glory that I have with you before the world was. So, that's him. He showed Moses that glory up front. And so much Moses turned into him. Moses was in the presence of eternity. He was exposed to everlasting. He turned into it. That's why when he died, the Lord had to turn off his clock. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. Let's go in First Peter chapter 1 and 6. First Peter 1 and 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are a heaviness through manifold temptation. Come on, y'all. Really? And you see, and then people get in manifold temptation. You say, man, I want sin again. And people say, no, you don't. You're like, yeah, damn right, I do. You know, I mean, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I'm asking for some scripture to stay on the wall. But the thing is, that shit hits you, man. You want to go. You know, it whatever it may be, whatever your dig is, whatever your sleeve is, it don't matter. Some of us ain't fornicators. Some of us is manslayers. Some of us just want to take somebody off the earth and then go to work tomorrow. You know, everybody don't think the same. So, yes, these things, you said manifold temptation. Everybody think they always, like, lasciviousness. No, man. No, you want to lie. You want to steal. You know, you want to kill. Let's look at this one first. It said that the trial of your faith, being much more a precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. So this is the thing. Now, you getting tried. We get tried here. Like Christ got tried, but listen here. They said you're going to get tried with fire like Jesus, right? So he said this. Might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Yeah, well, that's what I said out the gate. I said this. If it wasn't for Jesus, we ain't even having this conversation because I wouldn't even be talking about God. I'd be out here doing something else. Exactly. It's all about him. And he said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, even the salvation of the prophets have been inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, which would be us. And he says, the mercy, grace is mercy. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. So we acted like the Holy Ghost started with Jesus Christ. No, he said, I can't come. He said, the Spirit of truth can't appear until I leave, right? But he already was working as Daniel. You know, as David, as Saul, as Moses, as Joshua. He was already walking through the creation with the brethren. So this is him. Anyway, so he said this. Search in what manner of time a Spirit of Christ they did signify, were testified beforehand the suffering of Jesus, suffering of Christ, and the glory that shall follow, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, the prophets, that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So it wasn't just about him coming down, right? Right? Because he didn't have to. He didn't have to come down. He didn't have to. When Satan and the angels went to war and they got kicked out, he didn't have to come down and save nothing. He already told you that the angels was going to be judged at the end of time. But Satan did something. He caused man to sin. Now, Satan, being an angel that covereth, he was listening at the things that belong to God and the conversation that the two was having between one another, that if man sinned, which is in the law, one of us has got to die. Satan wanted to see it. The things which the angels desired to look into. They wanted to see God come down from heaven and die for man or not. Because if you don't, guess who gets thrown in the fire? God. With them. I ain't talking about all the angels because you said if there's a judgment, then there's hope, right? All right. So if there's a judgment, there's hope. It just ain't no hope for Satan because he said he's going to get cast in the lake of fire at the end of time, right? Or at the first great white throne judgment. He could throw in the lake of fire. Right. So anyway, which the angels desire to look into. So they wanted to see this thing go down too, right? So this is that. And he says, so, let's look at this a little further. Okay, that's a little better. Okay. St. John, chapter 1 and 28. We're going to hit that right quick because we're coming into the Passover, so we got to bring that lamb in, right? So let's do that. So this is the season. So he about to give the sacrifice, and this is the reason, the cause and effect. It's the Passover, which is the Lamb of God that's going to be sacrificed on the Passover. Not the 15th day. Okay, what did I say? I'm reading. John. What? Oh, 28. Okay, John 1:28. It says this. These things were done at Bethabasta Abra, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. There it is. This is of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is before me, but he was before me. See, he came through time. He came through time, out of heaven, out of eternity. This one here, whose name is Jesus, that was Jehovah, who now name is Jesus. That's why you can't alter the scriptures. Because the conversation of the Father and the Lord is in the scriptures, and when you alter them, you misinterpret the Father and the Son. I look at them books that's written in Hebrew and stuff, and I start looking for the Father and the Son conversation, and they get lost because you could tell, understand the Godhead by the interpretation of the scriptures. They don't understand the Godhead. So you can't use them books because they have misinterpretations of the Godhead when the Father and the Son is addressing each other. But then again, it's a copyright. So why would you want to read something that's not published, saying that the law is published? Anyway, where am I? Okay, so you said the Lamb of God, which is, okay, now let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 5:5-6, right? And it says this, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven in a whole lump. What is leaven, right? Purge ye out the old leaven that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. So you're supposed to be unleavened, right? For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Wait a minute. Did we just hear unleavened being equated with the Passover? Passover, unleavened. Passover is unleavened. Passover is the sacrifice. Okay. Of unleavened. Okay. It says the sacrifice of unleavened. I got you. All right, it says this. 5 and 7. Purge ye out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Oh, how self-explanatory is it that the first day of unleavened bread is the Passover, because you can't keep it with leaven? Duh. Anyway, it goes on. It said, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, wrote unto you in epistles not to keep company with fornicators. He says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, for with covetousness or extortion or idolaters, and ye be out of the world. Okay. So here it is. So he says, for Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. There it is. So now we got the passion in Christ and the sacrifice of unleavened all in one set with his spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You hear this? In which he was taken up, Revelation chapter 12 and 3. There he is, right? After that, he threw the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after. That was Pentecost, right? But here it is. So we got him, he said, after his passion, what? He rose after he did, what was his passion? What it was that he had to do that we have to look at. Let's look at that. Let's go into Matthew's chapter 26 and 17. Matthew's 26 and 17. Just hit the source up. Matthew's 26 and 17. And let's see. Matthew's 21. Well, I'm trying to get my. There it is. Okay, good. All right, now we're good. Matthew's 26 and 17. And it reads, now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wert thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? I know I didn't just hear that Paul this. Didn't we just hear that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? That's the New Testament. That's in two places. That the Passover is called unleavened in the same breath. It says right here. Now. Baby, I'm in the middle of a precept.
Oh, I was supposed to
come
by or not.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be by a little later, okay? Yeah, I'll be by there.
Okay, I'll go by the onion juice for this.
Well, I really want to give you this, though, because I'll call you back. I'm in the middle of something. Talk to me in a little bit.
Okay.
I'll meet you over at Ernest's house.
Okay.
I bet. Shalom. Anyway, so it says, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, wherewith thou that we prepare to eat the Passover? And he said, go. He said, eat the Passover, right? So now we're dealing with the Passover. And he told him what to do. We're not into this part of the story, into the passion part of it. And it says 26:26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. See, this is that thing. So he is about to perform the passion. He's going to give himself for the world. He's going to perform the Father's will this night on the Passover, not the 15th day, on the Passover, right? On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Passover, not the 15th day. Just keep this in mind. What is really the high day? The day that Jesus died or the next one? Okay. All right. Let's think about that for a minute. Anyway, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. For I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So the Passover is a kingdom shot. You see, it's a kingdom shot. He just went to the creation theory. He just went back to the beginning when he was talking to Moses and said, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And then when he went back there to Moses and said, in the beginning, that's what I did. He went all the way back there and then brought it all the way past the great white throne judgment, which would be the 13th day in the creation. And right after the 13th day in the creation, after everybody wake up on the 13th day, which just so happened to be the 8th day of man, when man is supposed to be circumcised, everybody's judged. And whoever sins was forgiven, guess what? They get passed over. See? See that? It's a kingdom shot. It's a kingdom shot. So he said, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Watch this. Smite. To afflict a heavy blow. Now, remember now, we're not listening to this conversation. We're listening to it in Aramaic, which, if you understand Aramaic, is 100% literal. In this day and age, it was 100% literal. So he knew when he said this, they knew he meant this. To inflict a heavy blow on, or as if with a hand, or a tool, or a weapon. To drive or strike a weapon, for example, forcibly onto or into something else. Him. He said, this is my body. Right here. I will smite the shepherd. That's the Father. It was him that I have borne this report. If it wasn't for him, I would have healed myself. But it was for him. I had to do the Father's will. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. It said, to affect sharply with a great filling, to deal a blow with the hand or as a withheld weapon. All right? To afflict. Chasing. So, he said, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep and the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Right? So he said, I'm going to be risen again. So they're going to resurrect you right there. He said, Peter answered and said, though all men should be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. How many times we said that? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. See that? He said, you're going to deny me three times. This night, not next week, not next, this, he said. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny. He just called God a lie. See? We all in our truth. We only be thinking about what we're saying to people. Somebody be telling you the truth. You say, oh, nah, that ain't what that means. You be like, oh, man, you just called me a liar. You know, people don't realize when people is like, you know, if you got the capacity of being literal. Because in order for you to have the capacity of literal, that means you have to exist in the truth. You can't exist in the truth and be literal. That's where Bible come in, because it's a lie. So if you 100% literal, that means you exist in the truth all the time. You see? He just called God a lie. Where am I? And he took with him. Did Jesus, did come with Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Y'all thought that was, you know, like slave conversation, huh? No, that's Hebrew. Anyway, so-called Hebrew. That's that Ebonic, right. It says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. It was Genesis 3:16. He said, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. And when he went a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not if I will, as I will, but so the Father couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because then I would have justified Satan. That both of them were hypocrites and they were liars. So he couldn't do it. He couldn't lie against the law. So it was impossible for the Father to even alter that, because it couldn't. It's etched in stone. That's that thing that we read in the, he said that we were listening to it under the Medes and the Persians. He said, the law which can't be altered, this couldn't be altered. It says this, 40. He cometh unto his disciples and find them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time to pray, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thou will be done. You know, I guess he had to come to himself, right? But he knew that Satan was going to put it on him. He knew that he was about to get the worst of the worst that the devil could put upon man and let him live. This little verse says, and he came and found them sleep again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, sleep now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed onto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. See? It says this, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people, right? He got everybody, right? He got everybody, strong arm Jesus, right? He said, now he that betray him gave them a sign saying, whomsoever shall I kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, why art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and smote off his head. And, well, ain't no wrong with having them things. You should. It says, Then said Jesus unto him, Put it up again. Put up that shield. It's okay. He say, Give it here. Right. Put up again thy sword onto his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? See, he couldn't. He couldn't do that because of this. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? See? The Father couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Neither one of them could break the law that they wrote for themselves. If man sinned, one of them would have to give himself. They couldn't break it. So Jehovah came down and did the thing. In the same hour, Jesus said to the multitude, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you lay no hands on me. But all this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. See? That's the Jesus theory. It goes on. It says, And they that had laid hold on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, when the scribes and the elders were assembled. So, we without excuse on this. This ain't the white man. This ain't got nothing to do with him. It's all our business. This murder, this crime, this wickedness had nothing to do with the stranger. Had everything to do with us. Look at this. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. So people be thinking, you know, like Israel was, because you see the houses all tore down and sanded up and all that. Now, but they wasn't like that then. They had palaces and streets and flowing waters and irrigations and stuff like that. It didn't look like that. We didn't wear sackcloth. We had silk and linen and stuff like that. We didn't walk around looking like we just climbed out of a potato sack. That wasn't the kingdom. That's what they want you to think the kingdom was. No, it was not. Israel would never. If it's up to Israel, that potato sack would be, he would do something with it that would make it more than a potato sack. So, no, we have our own tailors, our own clothes, linen, because we was wearing our own stuff because we couldn't have mingled material. So you was killing it. Anyway, so they're in this man's palace, right? And it goes on. Now the chief priests and the elders all counsel sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses, right? You keep lying on somebody, eventually it's going to become the truth. Oh my God. Anyway, that's a note to self, right? And they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And a high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing? What is this? What is with these witnesses against thee? And it, get this, 63, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God. Uh-oh, there go the father. Because that's the priest. He the priest. He the son. So he adjured thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ or the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said all the truth. Came out right there. Yeah, you said it. You said it. People sit up and say, you never heard Jesus say he was the Son of God. Right there, he said, you said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. He's not talking about on the sixth day. He's talking about on the eighth day. He's talking about when the heaven and earth fled away, and all the dead woke up and stood before him. That's 64. That's Revelation chapter 20 and 12 right here. He telling them, y'all going to see me in the judgment, and you ain't going to like what you see. You're going to see a 33-year-old black man with white hair. See, it ain't nothing wrong with having white hair, because the end of the man is the beginning of the man. We just was never meant to age and go old. It was meant to our hair to turn white. That's a great look. And linen in your youth. Anyway, then the high priest, 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need are we witnesses? Behold, we heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they spit in his face. Who spit in your face, right? Anybody ever spit in your face? Buffet him. What do buffet it mean? Right? Let's look that up. Buffet it. Let's see. To hit or beat. They jumped him. They pounded him out right now. They beating us. The crap out of them. They just jumping them. They beating them up. He ain't even seen Pontius Pilate yet. They gonna beat him half to death right here. He's getting it done. They spit in his face. They buffeted him. What do you mean? They hit, they beat, especially repeatedly. Strike against forcefully. Especially, repeatedly, batter, beat, to cause repeat difficult harm to a person. Peter saw what they was doing to him, and he lied 3 times. God said, to force one way with difficulty, pounded, hit, stormed repeatedly, assault. Right? They buffeted him. Others smote him. Wait a minute. Others smote him. What do smote mean? Wait a minute. I thought buffeted and smote was no, because smote isn't in there. Smote isn't in buffet. So what do smoke mean? To strike or hit hard as if with the hand or a stick or a weapon. That's what he said. That's what he said at the feast earlier. That they was going to pick things up and start beating them with it. Others smote him. They start beating them up. And then the other ones picked up stuff and they started beating them with it. It said, to deliver a deal, a blow, striking hard, to strike down, injure, to slay. They was trying to kill him. They was trying to kill him. Mind you, now, wait a minute. He could stop this at any time. Remember, he said, I can call 20 legions of angels, man, but he could not stop this because if he do, he justifies Satan. So Satan is giving it to him. This is him. This is when he said to Eve, what we read yesterday, he said, you're going to bruise his heel. But look how he handed it to him. To affect mentally, morally, emotionally with strong and sudden feelings, to oppress. It says afflict, upset, agonize, anguish, assault, bash, batter, belt, bop. Yeah. All right. That's an old hook. And then you bop you, you know, man. Who used to say that? My sister used to say, I'm a bop. My auntie used to say that. Oh, that's where she got that from. All right. So, 16 saying, pops down. Wait a minute. Whoa. We got to read this. He said, 67, he said, they spit in his face, buffeted him, others smote him with their palms of his hand, saying, prophesy thou, Christ, who is he that smote thee? See? Now, prophesy unto us. Thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Told you that was the devil. Told you that was him. And he started mocking them. Now you're getting into temptations of Christ. Now you're getting into that temptation, this passion, the temptation of Christ. All this is right here. This is the devil, man. This is what he was prophesied that he would do, that he would tempt God. But then we act like that's something strange when we tempt God every day with wickedness, man. Now, watch this. It goes on. He says, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now, Peter sat without in the palace. He's seen all of this, right? And a damsel came on him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Huh? Oh, he was maimed, right? Okay. 70. But he denied before them all, saying, I would not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, woman. that said a damsel. Didn't say she was a maid. They said a damsel. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. The spirits are snitching, right? And using the women. And said unto him that thou were there. This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. She's snitching on him. This fellow was with, was also with Jesus. They just told everybody. Now everybody looking at Peter, right? And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Because he knew on them like they just got through doing him, right? And after a while, came unto him, they that stood by and sat to Peter, surely thou art one of them. That speech berated. Yeah. You a Galilean, man. Your accent is telling on you. It's in the law that it was some Benjamites was hiding among the people because we was all Israelites. We all wore the same, we wore the clothes. We had the clothes on. And so they said, but if he say this word like this, he's not of the tribe that they so-called was looking at, right? So this is the same conversation. You know, it's like an Oriental person pronouncing a W. You know, it's that type of accent. So they got, he got, or you could say a country dude up in New York. His speech would tell on him. Oh, you from Houston or Texas because you Western, right? Or if he got a Southern draw, you know, like that. So the spirits are snitching on him. He in Judea, not Galilee. Right? And this is a man. He said, after a while came unto him, they stood back because they heard her. Now here they come and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for your thy speech bereath thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, for the cock crow, you should deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Okay. When morning was come, so Jesus is still here. Right? So he kept the feast with the disciples because the law said, let all your males keep the feast, right? Then where was he at on the 15th day? In the ground. I just thought I'd put that out there. Let's see. So when the morning was come, all the priests and the elders took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away, delivering him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Well, by the time he got to Pontius Pilate, Pontius already knew they'd done him. And he said, then Jesus, which had betrayed, then Judas, which had betrayed them, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Sometimes, man, you know, you don't realize what you've done until, like, well, I guess that thing, that hindsight is 20/20. There it is, right? Saying, I have sinned. You don't want to be in this conversation. And that I have betrayed innocent blood. Definitely don't want to be in that conversation. And they said, what is that to us? And you don't want to be around people that don't care. See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful for us to put it in the treasury because it's the blood. that's here. Now, let's go in and let's see. Kariah chapter. Oh my goodness. Let's see. Because this is a misquote. You know, it's not in Jeremiah. It's actually in Zechariah. The scripture, this particular scripture is in Zechariah. And I heard somebody was, you know, pounding out the Apocrypha because of some mistranslations of the word. And so we got one clearly here. But ain't nobody pounding out the King James Version, the 1811. You know what I mean? That's without the Apocrypha. The 1611 came with it. That's the one the King James originally put together. The Catholic Church gave you the one you're using now without the Apocrypha. Go read the law. Anyway, Zechariah chapter 11, it says this. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, so this is God talking. And the Lord said unto me, this is Jehovah talking. And Jehovah said unto me, cast it in the potter, a goodly price, that I was at pieces of silver, and cast it in the potter in the house of the Lord. There it is. That's the scripture that we just got to reading that said it was Jeremiah that said that. No, it was Zechariah that said it. So let's go back to that, that Matthew. Let's finish that out. But this is a big chapter, man. That Matthew 26 is a huge chapter. No, we was actually 27. Yeah, let's get back to that. So, let's see. And so, I'm past all of that. Okay, yeah. All right, I'm back here at 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. I love his speech. I told you he's an enigma. This mind is a beautiful thing if you learn the truth, right? Anyway, so he says this, when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And answered him, never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. So people be talking smack about you, man. You ain't got to say nothing. Okay. Action speaks louder than words. You know, 9 times out of 10, the one that's screaming the loudest is usually the one that's most guilty. Right. So, it says this. Now, this is 15. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release what feast? So, he keeping the feast too? Yeah, of course he is. The Herodians, Esau. They knew the law. Josephus, the Maccabean, they taught Edom how to keep the law. And Edom, which was preferred by the Greeks, and the Hellenistic empires up under the Herodians used that to become rulers in Jerusalem for the Greeks because they knew our laws because the Maccabeans taught them that. So, yes, he's keeping the feast now. anyway, yeah, that's semi-apocrypha. But anyway, that's another conversation. What was I? Right, and they took a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Where wilt thou release on thee Barabbas, or Jesus?" Which is called the Christ, for they knew that for the envy they had delivered him. Why? Barabbas? Right. Well, they hate. I'm gonna tell you, man, they'll judge the wicked over you. They will accept the persons of the wicked before God over you, even though they know you telling the truth. They hate the truth in you so much before God, they will witness the wicked before God against you. Go figure, right? This is part of this passion. He had to sit up here. These people lying on him, man. He's standing. He said at any time he could call it into this. They just got through beating him all night. Now they trying to get him killed. And he know he got some more coming. But he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he sat down in the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. You hear this conversation? Let's look that word up. What do you mean destroy? Destroy. Break apart. Destruction. See? That's them people. That's what they do. See? It says this. And render physically unusable. Cause to cease to exist as a distinguishable physical entity. Kidding me? This is what they wanted to do. Put an end to, eliminate. They want to eliminate him, render useless or ruin him. They wanted to ruin him. They wanted to subdue and defeat him completely, right? Cause emotional trauma to devastate. These are these kind of people. Your kin folks, it's in the blood. And we justify people that do things like this, seeing that they're doing it. Anyway, feast days coming to be destructive, right? To be destructive, cause destruction. Destroy, demolish, ruin. That's what they wanted to do to Jesus. That's what they want to do to the prophets. That's what they want to do to the apostles. Not everybody is serving God. Somebody got to put them up on the cross. Somebody got to get on the cross, and somebody got to do it. Everybody that's there on the feast day, all these people just got through keeping the Passover. Every one of these people, all of them. And they out here like this, just got through eating and drinking, praising God, and this is our best, right? On the Passover, right? The priests kicked this off. The so-called religious leaders kicked this off, right? The one that God set up to minister to the people, and they did this to God. Ain't that something? And we act like it's something new in the sun. We want to act like it's something. It ain't nothing. We're the same people. We do the same thing. We're still doing it. Anyway, it says this. Respect the person. That's that thing with Barabbas. That's what it's called, respect the person. Let's see. 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of twine will that I release only unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, oh, forgive me, this is Pilate, not the other governor. I thought this was the governor that they was trying to get him. He asked him to do a miracle, all that type of stuff. Anyway, no, this is Pilate. He a Roman. Anyway, what was that? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Wait a minute. We got innocent people being crucified on a cross by Romans, and then we decide that we want to crucify an innocent person? It's the same thing now, you know, people being locked up for nothing, being killed for nothing. And then it's like we go and tell them to do it. Hey, go kill George Floyd. He right over there. That's us. That's what we do. Yep, that's what we do. The book tells us right here in verse 24. That's exactly what we do. We're going to act like we David and all this madness, man. No, we not. I don't see that. Not among us. I see a lot of pride. I see David crying unto the Lord. I see pride and arrogance. We lied. We this, we that. I see David begging for his sentence. I don't know about this other madness that's out here, but I see this madness. People do this to a person. Then answered all the people and said, wait a minute, whoa. Now, I got to read this. It says, and Pilate said, what should I do with Jesus that you call the Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil have he done? Cry out the more, saying, let him be crucified. See? Just because somebody got a big-ass mouth don't mean it's true. You know, they can be as loud as all you want. You can have as many tears as you want. That don't make it the truth. That's this. When Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail nothing, that the rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the man's blood, of this just man. See ye to it. We ain't careful with that now. We ain't careful with that conversation at all nowadays. You know why? Because we'll be the first one to do it. Somebody come up with some juicy madness and we'll go all off into it. Now you say, oh, I ain't going that route. I'm washing my hands of that. I ain't got nothing to do. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Nope. All it is. A wicked heart give ear to a lying tongue. Yep, it's written. Anyway, it said, then answer all the people and say, his blood be upon us and our children. You're alive. No, Lord, rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's why I got baptized. He said, nah, your kids ain't going to be up under this. Thank you, Father, for the baptism. He set my family free from that. He said, then release he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, wait a minute, scourged, what do scourge mean? Let's see. Scourged. So So let's get a kind of update. Okay, he was smite. He said, I'm be smite. He's going to smite the shepherd, right? We looked that up. So he's going to smite the shepherd. Then they buffeted him. Then they smote him. They spit on him. Now he's about to be scourged. Okay, scourged. Right? What do scourge? A source of widespread, dreadful affliction and devastation, such as caused by pestilence or war. So the pain that he endured was all over the body. And so much. Now, mind you now, Satan isn't commanded to kill him yet. He is commanded to give him everything he got. Satan, at this point, had what? 5,000 years, 4,000 years of practice? Now he's giving it to him. Not letting him die yet because you got to get on the cross. I want you to die on the cross, but I want you to change your mind. Now, mind you, he ain't showing him no mercy because he want him to change his mind. He want him to not finish this. So he's going to give him every last bit of whatever he bringing, and that's 100% drama. You don't want it. We ain't seen it. We don't never want to see it. But he did it. He did it to him. He said, scourged, a means of affliction, severe suffering, vengeance or punishment, a small whip used to afflict punishment. Chasing severely, to flog. Wait a minute, flog. Let's look that up right quick. Flog. Eddie Murphy said that in Golden Child. I should be flogged. I should be purged. I thought that was funny. It says this. Beat harshly with a whip, a strap, sling, to make progress by painful work, to beat with a whip, a stick, etc., especially as punishment. See that? To be severely with a whip or a rod, flogging, to give a beating to subject to a beating either as a punishment or as an act of aggression, a whip, leather strap, horse whip, they start getting into all these different things. Cowhide, a cat with nine tails, a whip with birch twigs, beat with a cane, a lampis. I don't look those things up, you know. But in his Mel Gibson flick, they was choosing the different instruments they was beating them with. I can say safely that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, wasn't exactly according to the scriptures. I think it was more PG than the scriptures. If it would have been done according to the law, it would have been R. because he would have been butt naked. In fact, he would have been X because he would have been butt naked. He didn't have no clothes on. That was part of the shame. Okay, so Scourge, and it says Scourge, right? So, 26, then released Barabbas on, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governors took Jesus to the common hall and gathered onto him the band of soldiers. Now, he just got beat up all night by the Israel, just got whipped almost to death. Now he's surrounded by a bunch of Roman soldiers that don't know nothing else but just want to just beat up people, like, you know, police brutality. We want to act like that Floyd thing is new. They showing you how it was done. And they stripped him, put on a scarlet robe, and they platted a crown of thorns, and put it on his head, and read in a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." See? That's the devil. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. So they started beating him on the head and was mocking him while they was doing it. And, you know, let's look at that. I ain't gonna give you my thought on it. Let's look at, he said mock, right? They was mocking him with ridicule or contempt. Ridicule. So now they're getting at his pride. They're trying to insult him that he will do something stupid, right? But mind you, this is God. He said, to intimidate in fun or derision, to mimic, resemble closely, frustrate the hope or the intentions. Wait a minute, I didn't see that coming. To frustrate the hope or intentions. They were doing that? Wow. To cause or appear irrelevant, ineffectual, or impossible. To express scorn or ridicule. Pick up scorn and derision. So God know what that means. He know what it means for somebody mocking. He said they scorned it. They scorned him. When you look up the word scorn, that's why he said scorners would never sit in the seat of judgment. Psalms chapter 1. And 2. They say they'd never sit in the seat of judgment. Scorners would never sit in the seat of judgment. Well, there you have it. That's his why. And they spit on him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. Then as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to carry his cross. Well, it wasn't enough for him to do. Well, what else he was going to do? He was almost dead, right? He just got beat up all night. He got beat up some more. Then he just got flogged and scourged, and then he got beat up again, right? So he ain't living out the rest of this day. What is he gonna do trying to carry this cross? That ain't nothing. No, this ain't a Samson moment here. He said this, and they compelled him to carry to bear his cross. And when they would come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and he tasted thereof and would not drink. We're going to hold that here. I'm going to hold it here at crucified. And it says that. It says, this vinegar and gall, this brother named Taft Hayden, He did a research on it. He had a little brother named Travis. They both used to go to class, and he did a research on this man. He said, man, check this out. That gall is heroin. I said, what? Yeah. That's how they kept them from, dealing with pain. It kept them on the heroin and let them, slide out of here, in a day. Wow. It's amazing. And that stuck with me. But he refused it. He refused it. Remember now, Jesus is 100% literal. So he got to go all the way through this. He got to be 100% literal through this. He can't be cloudy because the judgment is coming. He's going to have to judge people for what they just got through doing. He's going to have to be 100% literal to do this. So let's do this. Let's leave this here, and we're going to pick this up next Thursday night, right? Yeah, let's pick it up next Thursday night. And it says this. It says 27 and 30, and they spit upon him to read and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him, and they took off the robe from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Okay, let's leave this here. So by the time we get to next week, next Thursday, God willing we live, we can go into the law and read this story in the law. Okay? All right. So with that being said, we want to hope and pray that everybody have a blessed Sabbath. And we hope and pray that everyone get what the Father have in store for them and the message that they have. That he's going to give them. So, hey, man, enjoy the feast, enjoy the Sabbath. God willing, we live. Touch bases later. Shalom. Yeah, I can't seem to pull it. I'm on the wrong network. So I'm going to pull it over here. I'm going to pull it here. And I hope everybody, today. I'm going to have to get to that. Let's see.